Morning, I'd like to welcome each and every one of you to the services this morning. Glad that you made the decision to come and worship our one and true God with us. And I'd like to thank the elders for giving me the opportunity to speak to you this morning. And to open up, I want to ask you all a question. And when you go out in your day-to-day lives, whether it's going to work or going to school or going to, whatever else it is, do you ever go dressed in armor? And I ask that because as Christians, we're called to wear a spiritual armor each and every day. And if you think about people who fight for our country and for our freedom, and, they go out and they have battles and war, and when they do, they are dressed in armor to protect themselves, physically speaking. And, so for us, I want to talk about how we dress ourselves spiritually with the armor of God. If you will, please turn to Ephesians chapter 6. That's where we will take our main reading from this morning. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 14 through 17. Book of Ephesians chapter 6, verses 14 through 17. Starting in verse 14, it says, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." And so, today I want to look at each of these pieces of armor and how they are used spiritually, and I also want to look at why we need this armor. So first, I want to look at the belt. Now, the belt, physically speaking, was used to bind clothes together back in their day. And so when they were in battle, they would be allowed to move more quickly, and, their clothes wouldn't be a hindrance to them. Now, back in their time, the men would wear longer robes, and so a belt would be needed so that they would be able to move a lot quicker. And so there was this physical need, which we can read about in 2 Samuel chapter 20 and verse number 8, which says, "When they were at the great stone, which is in Gibeon, Amasa went before them, and Joab's garment that he had put on was girded unto him, and upon it a girdle with a sword fastened upon his loins and the sheath thereof. And as he went forth, it fell out." So we read that the belt, physically speaking, was used to bind the clothes together and also help bear weapons that the people would use. So how does this apply to us spiritually? What is our spiritual belt? In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 13, it says, "Wherefore, gird up the loin of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." So when someone girded their loins, to speak, they were preparing for their job. And so as Christians, when we go to our day-to-day life, we need to prepare our mind so that we can, take on the fiery darts that the devil will fire at us, and that we will be able to teach people about Christ because we're prepared and we're wearing our spiritual belt. The next piece of armor that we read about is the breastplate. And the breastplate is a piece of armor that covers your whole front and your back all the way down to your torso, and it was used to protect against blows to the vital organs. If a soldier back in that time especially were to walk out without a breastplate, he would be completely open for any sort of attack, and he would be easily defeated. So the breastplate is very important to us Christians as well. So what is our breastplate? In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 8, it says, "But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation." So here we read that our breastplate is made up of righteousness, faith, and love, and it protects us from attacks of unrighteousness and hate. Proverbs chapter 11, verse number 4 says, "Riches profit not in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivereth from death." So our breastplate of righteousness protects us from death, from spiritual death. And it saves us from the fatal blows of wickedness if we wear it. Another piece of armor that we wear are shoes. Now, shoes is a little easier to understand because, you know, we have shoes today, and even the people back in their time had shoes. They're not quite the same, but it's still the same idea. And shoes, as we know, are used to protect the bottom of our feet from rocks or thorns or any of those sorts of things that would harm your feet. And so soldiers would wear shoes so that they wouldn't have to worry about where they were stepping while they were in battle. They could put their entire focus on the task of defeating the enemy rather than worrying about where they're going to step. And as we read in Ephesians 6, it told us that the shoes were shod with preparation of the gospel of peace. And so that's what our spiritual shoes are, is preparation of the gospel. If you would please read 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 15. It says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." So here we're reading that, no, we need to be prepared. We need to always be ready to give an answer to someone who might ask us about our faith. And so in doing this and being prepared to teach people about Jesus, we're wearing our spiritual shoes. And, you know, if we're prepared to deliver them the gospel, then we won't have to, you know, worry about other things. And we'll be able to preach the gospel to those people effectively. And so how do we get to this point? How do we get to this point of readiness? Well, that's just by simply studying the Word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 15. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 15, it says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." So by studying the word, no, we won't only be acceptable to God, but we will also be able to preach to others around us so that they might believe and that they might be saved and have salvation for their souls. So by wearing these spiritual shoes, we need to be ready to deliver the gospel at any given time, and we need to be prepared as Christians every day. So the next piece of armor I want to look at is the shield. The shield, as we read back in Ephesians 6, it talked about how it protects us from the fiery darts of the devil, and it's our shield of faith. And shields, you know, just in regular battle, were used to deflect any kind of attack. It can be used to protect you from swords or from arrows or, you know, whatever the enemy has to throw at you. The shield is a very protective weapon and very defensive. And so our spiritual shield, what does it protect us from? Matthew chapter 14 and verses 28 through 31. Matthew chapter 14, verses 28 through 31. Says, "And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus." Verse number 30 says, "But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" So here we read about Peter, who was on a ship at this time, and there was a sea storm there in their area at their boat that they were on, and, you know, they all became afraid, and they saw Jesus out in the water, and Jesus was walking on the water, and they were all afraid, and they were, you know, asking him to help, and Jesus told Peter to come to him, and so Peter started walking on that water, but then he started to doubt. And, you know, when he started to doubt, he started to sink. And he cried for Jesus to save him, which he did. And so, the main point here is that, you know, our shield of faith is to protect us from doubt. You know, if we wear our shield from day to day, then we won't have to worry about, you know, doubting God and doubting His grace and His mercy. You know, instead, we need to be fully faithful and believing that Jesus will save us and He will forgive us. We need to have that shield of faith with us every day. And as we read in Ephesians 6, No, it told us that we will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And no, a fiery dart is a poisonous arrow. And poisonous arrows aren't meant to deal, you know, immediate deadly damage. No, they're meant to, you know, attack you slowly and to kill you slowly. And now here in a while we'll talk about some spiritual poisonous arrows. But at this time I want to go ahead and move on to the next part of the armor that we are called to wear, and that's the helmet. And the helmet is pretty easy to understand. You know, we wear helmets when we ride four-wheelers, or if people ride motorcycles, most of them wear helmets. And helmets are just, you know, simply used to protect your head if you were to fall. And what is our spiritual helmet? We already read 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 8, but I want to look at the later end of that verse, which says, "And for a helmet, the hope of salvation." So our spiritual helmet is just simply the hope of salvation. And what our helmet will protect us from as Christians is from fear and discouragement while we're in battle. Because, you know, sometimes while we're out living our day-to-day lives, trying to be the best Christians we can, it can be pretty easy to be discouraged by seeing what's all going on in this world and all the evil that's in it. It's easy to become discouraged, and maybe, you know, if we become discouraged, then we might not be the Christians that we need to be. And I also want to read Proverbs chapter 14 and verse number 32. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse number 32 says, "The wicked is driven away in his wickedness, but the righteous have hope in his death." And so our helmet keeps us from fearing death. Our helmet is the reason that we can go boldly into battle without worry. And by having salvation in Jesus and living a life true to our faith, we can enter into death with confidence in God and in our salvation. So our helmet is used spiritually as the hope of salvation. And lastly, I want to look at the sword. The sword, really, here in Ephesians chapter 6, is the only offensive weapon that Paul calls us to use in this battle. And obviously, swords are used to defeat the enemy, to strike a deadly blow to the enemy. And what's our spiritual sword? Our spiritual sword is the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 12, a very popular verse, says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." So we read that our sword is the Bible, which is sharper than any two-edged sword. You know, people can make swords extremely sharp, and to say that the Bible is sharper than any sword is a very powerful statement and shows, you know, the power of God. And we use this Bible to convict people of their wrongdoings, and it's used to convict ourselves as well of our wrongdoings. And so I want to ask next, who is our enemy as followers of Christ? Who is our main enemy that we face each and every day? And that answer is Satan. And if you would, please turn to Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. I want to read about a man named Jesus who was tempted by Satan. Matthew chapter 4, starting in verse 1, we'll read through verse number 7. Says, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, 'If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread.' And he answered and said, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.' Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, 'If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Let's go ahead and read down to verse 10. It says, in verse number 8, Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them. And saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Now this is one of my favorite readings in the Bible, and because, you know, Jesus defeats Satan in a very simple way. You know, if you were to hear about, you know, Jesus taking on Satan, you might think, well, Jesus will do something, you know, fantastic and glorious. He'll do something so miraculous, but instead, he defeats Satan in a very simple way, and that's by using the word of God against him. And so, we need to do the same in our day-to-day lives. If there's a temptation that comes before us, and we realize it, and we know that it says in the word of God that it's wrong, then we can use the word of God to defeat that temptation and to overcome it. You know, just like Jesus defeated Satan with the word. And that's how Jesus resisted the temptations, was he thought about the word of God and realized that what Satan was doing was wrong. And so now I'd like to ask, why do we need the armor of God? And first off, it's to stand the walls of the devil. Back in Ephesians chapter 6 and verses 11 through 13, we're called to put on this armor so that we may withstand the devil and all of his schemes. And the armor is required to protect us from sin. But what happens if we don't wear the full armor of God? What happens if we only wear part of it? Back in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 11, you know, we're commanded to put on the whole armor of God. It says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So, you know, if we fail to put on the whole armor of God, if we only put on a part of it, then we will fall for lusts and temptations. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse number 9, 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse number 9 says, But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. So, in this verse, the rich are specifically used as an example to those who fall into temptation and snares of the devil. But even us Christians can fall into those temptations if we're not fully protected and wearing the whole armor of God, then we will fall into those temptations as well. And next I want to look at a couple of examples, a couple of people who did not correctly protect themselves in their lives. And so first I want to look at David in 2 Samuel chapter 11 verses 2 through 4. 2 Samuel chapter 11, verses 2 through 4 says, And it came to pass in an eveningtide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself. And the woman was very beautiful to look upon. Verse number 3 says, And David sent and inquired after the woman. And one said, Is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? And David sent messengers and took her. And she came in unto him, and he lay with her, for she was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned unto her house. So here we read about David, a man of great armor, and the Bible calls him a man after God's own heart. We read about David who falls for a temptation, and he wasn't prepared for it. No, he was walking along his roof, and he was, you know, looking in a place that he didn't need to look, and he saw this woman, Bathsheba. And his temptation, his flesh, took over him. He wasn't properly, you know, prepared to take on this temptation. You know, we can read about great things that David did in his life. He took on Goliath. He defeated Goliath with a lot of faith. And, you know, this was, at this point, this was the devil's poisonous arrows at work. You know, he let his guard down and he messed up. But instead of giving up, you know, he was able to recover, and he begged God for forgiveness. You know,
And we can read about it in the Psalms where he just lamented over the sin and he wanted forgiveness so bad. I want to look at another man who didn't quite do the same, and his name was Judas. If you would, please turn to John chapter 12, verse 6. John chapter 12, verse number 6. It says, "This he said, that not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief, and had the bag, and buried what was put therein." No, a couple verses earlier, Judas had said something that, you know, sounded pretty caring, but it wasn't because he cared for the poor. It was actually because he was a thief. And, you know, Judas was a treasurer for the groups of the apostles and Jesus. But the fact is, he was a thief, and, you know, he was a liar too. He lied to them, and he wasn't honest with people. And he took out of the money bag that he was entrusted with. And this grief, this greed and thievery, you know, started out small, but in time it began to grow, and it made his heart more susceptible to sin, and it, you know, made him where he was able to fall for temptations easier. In Luke chapter 22 and verse number 3, it says, "Then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of 12." So, no, because Judas let his guard down so much, and it might not have been the biggest thing in the world, but he let his guard down enough to where Satan even entered his heart. And we know that Judas was the one who betrayed Jesus, you know, for 30 pieces of silver, and it wasn't worth it. And so we have to wear the whole armor of God so that, you know, we can stay away from sin, and that we will be protected, because, you know, we can even read of great men in the Bible who at times let their guard down, and it, you know, had a chain reaction of evil things. Like David, he let his guard down just looking on a woman, and then he wanted her, and it led from him, you know, sleeping with this woman Bathsheba to having her husband, you know, murdered. And then, as we read about Judas, you know, it started out just taking a little bit of the money from the treasury that the apostles and Jesus had, and it led him to betraying the Son of God completely. And so what's another reason why we need the armor of God? And it's to bring others to Christ. And we talked about how we can use the armor for defense, like the shield of faith and the breastplate of righteousness, but also, you know, we need to wield the sword. We need to wield the Word of God so that we can lead others to Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 20, Paul writes, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you," and Christ said, "be ye reconciled to God." We read that as followers of Christ, we are not only followers, but we're ambassadors. We're not just called to follow, but we're called to bring people to Christ. And, you know, when we become Christians, we're to wear the armor of God, and we are representatives of Christ. And this is a great way to lead people to Jesus, just showing that you have put on Christ, showing that you wear His armor. Also, Matthew chapter 5, verse number 16, Matthew chapter 5, verse number 16, it says, "Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." So Jesus tells us that we must let our light shine before others. And if we truly wear the full armor of God, then our light will shine very brightly. And we can have a big impact on someone's life by wearing the armor of God and by letting our light shine. You know, they can see that, you know, we're doing something right, and that, you know, maybe our influence can lead others to Jesus. Also, I'd like to turn to Romans chapter 10 and verse number 15. Romans chapter 10 and verse number 15, it says, "And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." Here Paul writes that, you know, the feet of those who go and spread the gospel and teach that others may be led to Christ, you know, it's a beautiful thing. And if we wear the full armor of God, we will become ambassadors of Christ. And, you know, we will need to let our light shine before others like we need to. And in doing so, we need to preach the gospel to those around us so that they can wear the armor too. So in closing, I want to look at, we are commanded to completely cover ourselves with this armor, and if we don't, we will fall into sin. Because we read about David and Judas, how they were, you know, great men spiritually, but at times they weren't wearing the full armor of God and they slipped. And we will too if we don't wear the full armor of God. And we wear this armor so that we can avoid darts of the devil. And so we can bring others to Christ so that they may wear the armor as well. And so I want to close by asking you a question this morning. I want to ask, how much of the armor do you wear every day? Do you go out into the world and do you, you know, only wear the shoes sometimes, or do you only wear the helmet? No, we need to be completely clothed with this armor. We need to arm ourselves toe to toe with godly tools so that we can win our fight against the devil, and that we can bring others to Christ.